100 Word Stories.
It's Memorial Day weekend here in the colonies, so remember those who gave their lives to protect your freedoms, even though you take them for granted and spit on the soldiers when they come back, shout illegal wars, but no, we support the troops. And all that nonsense. Doesn't make sense anymore. It really doesn't. I mean, I'm looking through the paper, all these sales on washing machines and cars and other tawdry crap, buying all the stuff we don't need. It doesn't make any sense. Nothing makes sense anymore. So, let's just go ahead and do a bunch of stories. It's the weekly challenge. I post the topic, you come up with the stories. Let's see what you've got. Let's see what's in you. What needs to get out there into the world. First up, John Musico.
And a fine gold watch for you. By John Musico. Boss Crotchet was a greedy man. What irked him more than anything was the notion he'd have to pay a pension to a retired employee that wasn't even working anymore. Insult to injury were the gold pocket watches he'd have to shell out upon retirement. The headlines one morning read, "Another mystery bombing." A detective stood at the crime scene. "These bombings do not fall on any particular date, and the explosions leave few clues." No one could discern the shattered pieces of a gold watch. No one could recall that Crotchet was an explosives expert during the war.
Wow, that was one hell of a retirement gift. Thank you, John Musico, and remember, there's a difference. One's Veterans Day, one's Memorial Day. You know, I posted up a story a while back with a long rant about Memorial Day and Veterans Day. And why can't we just, you know, every Memorial Day, it's remember the troops who are serving now. Well, those are veterans. And on Veterans Day, you always say, well, remember the ones who gave their lives. You know, using one to guilt the other. Can't we combine these all into a single holiday? Independence Day, you know, what they gave their lives for or served for, and get it all into one day. That way traffic isn't tied up three times, it's only tied up once. I don't know. What do you think? No, I do know. We should do it. And if elected president, that's the first thing I do. Whatever. That way we sell less washers and dryers and cars and other tawdry crap. Can you tell I'm in a bit of a mood? You know what'll save that? Here, Jeffrey. We'll have him tell a story.
Greetings, everyone. It's Jeffrey Fisher, here with a couple of stories for week 422 on the subject of watch. Lawrence, I hope you made it back from Phoenix. As far as I can tell, it's always 150 degrees there. And so the only way I could imagine going to Phoenix is going from my air-conditioned airplane to my air-conditioned car to an air-conditioned hotel, and while I'm there, an air-conditioned restaurant or two, followed by reversing the process. And when I got off the plane in someplace cooler, I would bless my lucky stars. Anyway, my first story is called Watch Me. "Watch me, Daddy," he'd cried before showing off in some fashion, shimmying down a slide, swinging higher and higher, riding the Mad Hatter's teacup at Disney World. I would watch with half my attention and pretend to be amazed. "Watch me," he said as he clambered over the rocks, still wet with rain. We had gone hiking in the White Mountains, easy trails that led to scenic vistas. Now we had reached the end of one such trail, to the Overlook. I started to tell him to be careful, but I was too late. He slipped, disappearing over the edge. "Watch me," I hear in my haunted dreams, and I do watch him. Every night as I try to sleep, I see that scene. My second story is called Rats. As I passed the National Geographic building, I saw the rat. Inflated more than 12 feet high, its presence signaled a union unhappy with some building owners' use of cheaper, non-union labor. Unfair! Chanted the three protesters, more or less in unison. I wanted to point out that others were happy to work for the supposedly unfair wage, while the three of them chose to spend their day in an unproductive effort at shaming. I wanted to say that they'd be better off taking a job at market wages, especially if that meant they didn't have to pay union dues to leaders who collect six-figure salaries sitting in gray stone mausoleums near the Capitol, from which they would lobby Congress. Instead, I simply walked on by, watching the circus and its rodent star. That's it for me this week. I'll be back next week.
Thank you, Jeffrey. And the two stories. Yes, it was 150 degrees. Yes, people were exploding and melting. And yet, what really bugged me, there were very few people walking around up above ground. Houston has a tunnel system, and it's for the heat and for the rain. And it's hotter in Phoenix, no tunnel system. You know, what is this, city of retards? God, everyone's suffering from heat stroke? Don't you know how to dig? I mean, they had some sky bridges between stadiums and such, you know, for all the people who were going to baseball games and embarrassed of going to arena football games. But still, you know, basketball games, they had all those sky bridges to the parking lots where they can get into their nice, cool vehicles. But the rest of it, from the Hyatt to the convention center, no sky bridge. I'm sure there was a secret underground service tunnel that they don't let the public use, but just stupid. Tunnels, people, tunnels. The sun came out today, but it won't come out yesterday. It'll be 72 and nice. What are you, retarded, stupid, blind, ignorant?
It's 9 hours.
Oh, thank you, robot. So, yeah, you can tell I'm recording this a little late. I'm not doing laundry. Gina went ahead and did it. And I was like, I like doing laundry. I do it early. It gives me a special thrill that I'm the only one using the machines. And I got up early and beat out everybody else. Because I plan ahead. And stuff. I'm just going to go ahead and play Richard's story. Have I pissed everyone off yet?
Good morning. I'm feeling rather tired at the moment, so if I go quiet, I'm afraid it's because I've fallen asleep. Terribly sorry. First story is George Part 58. It's called Watch Out. As the church door slammed shut behind him, George clenched his teeth. Damn you, Rasputin. Why did you have to say that? The words reverberated in his head. Watch out for the monster. Watch out, indeed. There were no monsters. It was those idiots back in the church, waiting for the world to end, that needed to see things clearly. He'd show them. There was a logical reason for this craziness, and George was going to get to the bottom of it. Briskly he marched away. If there were monsters out there, then they were the ones who'd better watch out. Okay, here's my third attempt at my second story. Is this your watch? The crowd loved it, laughing generously. I wasn't impressed. I knew the guy was a fraud the moment I sat down to watch, and I wasn't happy about throwing away my money on a second-rate magic act. It was time he was put in his place, so when he asked for a volunteer from the audience, I was up like a shot. He did his best to humiliate me in front of the crowd, but I bided my time. No, I smiled. That's actually your watch. And I believe these are yours too. Handing him his wallet and underpants. And here's my last story this week. It's called Square Eyes. If you watch too much television, you'll get square eyes, my mother used to say. Don't throw things, you'll have someone's eye out. Stop making faces. If the wind changes, you'll stay that way. I never listened, of course. I wasn't so gullible to be taken in by such nonsense, and I vowed that if ever I had children, they'd never hear me spouting that kind of rubbish. Well, turns out they didn't need to. They only had to look at the ugly face of their square-eyed dad and all his one-eyed friends to get the message perfectly. That's me done. I'm off to get some sleep. Goodbye.
Thank you, Richard, and dream of soft, comforting things. Not like cats that poke you in the nose over and over. Mist really needs to learn boundaries. Oh, right. Julie? Sure. Wow, she's early this week. Okay, let's get Julie's story in and keep going before I say anything really, really... No, wait, I want to say something stupid. So, Christiane Ellis had me in the first season of Space Casey many years ago as some sort of alien space jerk. And so what does she do? Says, hey, I got a perfect part for you. Cameo as another alien space jerk. And people wonder why I don't go to Balticon. Maybe next year. Oh, right. Sure. Let's go with Julie's story.
Oh, hi, everyone. It's Julie. Well, I guess watch is the word for this week, and here's my offering. This is a poem. It's called Dear God. Dear God, it's a lot to ask. We've not spoken in a while. I forget what I was going to say. Oh, yes, forgiveness. Please save me from oblivion. This poem I had was in my head and slid away for another day. I wait another hour. I watch and wait for signs of you. Tapping fingers while the teapot boils, my soul recoils. The only messages are bill collectors. Is the redemption in my hands or yours? Do I have to be good to get it? Am I forgiven if I don't willingly repent? Dear God, I sort of believe in you. Well, thank you all, and I wish everyone a great week. And thanks, Lawrence. Love you always.
Thank you, Julie. You make me want to put music behind my stories. No, I will never do it. That takes effort, and I'm lazy. You know who isn't lazy? Lizzie is not lazy. Lizzie is Lizzie, not lazy. Otherwise, she'd be lazy, but she's Lizzie. So let's hear Lizzie's story this week.
No one will die on my watch, barked the cop. Give yourself up so we can go home safely. The problem was that the man was not going home safely. He would be arrested and sent to jail. I didn't do it, he protested. Good. Walk this way and we'll sort things out. When he came out, hands in the air, wearing nothing but filthy clothes, he thought there was hope. Suddenly, someone yelled, "He has a gun!" And a barrage of deafening shots made him collapse. No gun was found, and the real killer was caught 2 days later. This was my story for this week. Drop by my blog at lizziegoodkoff.blogspot.com, and talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
But it wasn't the bullets that laid him to rest. It was the low spark of High Heel Boys. Thank you, Lizzie, who is not lazy. Oop, the air conditioning kicked in. Hee, cool, comforting air. Unlike Phoenix, which is a blast furnace from hell. Ha, ha, ha. No, actually, they had a really good restaurant there. Coaches, it was by the stadiums. I asked, you know, what would be something that I got to eat here that I could never get anywhere else? And he said, worst chicken sandwich. It's like, okay, actually it was one of the best chicken sandwiches I ever had. Even had a, what are those, green chili hatch peppers on it. but it was roasted, so it wasn't just, you know, ow, spicy, but savory and flavorful. Everything was good about it. Except, of course, the fact that I nearly had a heart attack. But that's okay. That's good for the folks that want me to have one. Probably my doctor, who's sick of me looking like a mess. How about we move on to Tom and see what he's got this fine day. No, actually, it's not Memorial Day yet. That's tomorrow. Today is Indy 500, people going in circles. My grandparents on my father's side, so you know they're evil. They had these Indy 500 glasses, and that's how I learned the name Emerson Fittipaldi. But A.J. Foyt, A.J. Foyt, A.J. Foyt. Now, really, some hick drives in a circle a bunch of times. The real athlete, that's the pit crew. That's the crew chief. That's the folks that are designing these things. Stick some hick behind the wheel. What's the big deal? You know, Danica Patrick can do it, so anyone, right? Whatever. What? You're daring me to do it? Yeah, I don't drive that fast. It's kind of stupid to drive that fast, really. Oh, whatever. Let's celebrate our dead soldiers by driving in circles real fast. Yeah, we're always going in circles. Welcome to America. Oh, right, Tom.
Hello, Night People. Tom here, and I've got updates. Story total, just under 6,700. Story average, 50.5. Total authors, 441. Still averaging one new author a week. Movement, lots. Dionysus moves into the 71st place. Chelsea enters the top 60, just behind top 10er B. John and Julie take the 36th place, moving into a four-way tie with Terry and Lisa of Lemons and Lollipops. Spade is a mere story from entering the top 30. Cliff, welcome back, we missed you, nimbly leaps over TJ to become the 12th monkey. Richard edges past Jeffrey to become the 8th monkey. But the most amazing news is Guy David's return returns him back into the top 10, displacing Justin. You just never know what's going to happen around here. Iron Monkeys. Serendipity trades places with Cliff. Jeffrey is just a breath away with 98 stories in a row. Phil stands at 294, and Tom stands at 195. For the first time in 8 years, I sent in the wrong recording, 20 instead of 21. Fortunately, I always send the text in a separate file, in case I have a senior moment. So my run at 200 in a row remains intact. And I have three stories tonight. The first, a continuation of a well-defined relationship, a part 51. Part 50 is over on the direct feed, and it kind of closes in that Star Wars, Star Trek monster mess. You can almost skip it and just move on. So here goes. The signal beacon from the watch was difficult to see in the green light, but as other hues returned, it became disturbingly present. Reverend Morehouse checked the code twice. Proctor, they're coming, 60 strong. With carts and packs, the people of the plan made their way to Funky Town. It was completely deserted. A note nailed to the dry goods store read, "Watch your step. Sparky, reset the distortion grid. Mrs. Proctor, string the clotheslines to the right. Smith and Bannister, move the carts to the hard left. Timmy, you and I will hold our ground here." Story 2, Before the Storm. They called him Watch. He never engaged the zombies directly. His job was to track and plot movement, skirting the edge of the horde's wake. Before the war, he was assistant manager in a hardware department. As far from a warrior as one could get, 6 years in the field will change a man. The loss of a wife and a child will burn the heart out of a man. Watch kept to himself, only returning to the caravan for supplies. Watch was partial to peanut butter. Maria always kept a jar awaiting. Watch had learned zombies loathed the smell. And the last story. It takes a lickin' and keeps on tickin'. It was a full 3 days the new Timex kept time. On the fourth day, Julian opened the back plate to study the gears and springs. Needless to say, said watch no longer kept time. Julian closed it up and set the hands to a minute before high noon. For the next 50 years, he wore the frozen Timex. Whenever anyone asked for the time, he would say, "Oh, just about noon," or, "Oh, it's just before midnight." When his firm honored him with a Rolex, he took that apart too. Now, both are set just before midnight. And that's it.
Thank you, Tom. And yes, you demonstrate the fact that if you somehow forget your recording, send the wrong text in, something, and I notice, you're assuming that I notice, or it gets caught in the waste bin or whatever, it's okay to send it in later in the week and say, "Hey, can you get this up on the feed?" And I'll be like, "Okay." And I get it up on the feed. I try to do it in a reasonable amount of time, but sometimes I get really, really lazy. Not busy. Busy's no excuse. If you're busy, that means, oh, you're really active and you're getting things done. You can get this thing done too. But the key is lazy. And so, anyway. So we've got another monkey coming? Okay, good. I'll get the monkey chow. I tried watching Planet of the Apes again. I very rarely see it from the beginning. And I've seen the opening scene. That's like, oh, go to the bathroom, get some popcorn. Oh, crap, they're being chased by apes. And so I watched the opening bit of it on Netflix without having to go get the DVD or whatever. It's like, oh, okay, that's what it is. You see? You know, bits and pieces. What? Oh, right. Serendipity? Okay. Here's Serendipity Stories. Let's have us a listen.
Here in the darkness, I sit silently and watch. I watch the rain through the window and the flash of your car headlights in the driveway. I watch as you run to the porch, hear the fumbling of the key in the lock, the slam of the door behind you, the creak of the stairs beneath your feet. I watch from the shadows of your bedroom as the bathroom light spills across the landing floor. And I watch as your own shadow enters the room, you following, briskly toweling your hair dry, unaware that I am watching. Watching you silently.
Thank you, Serendipity. That should shake free any stalkers you had. Or, I don't know, maybe you're the stalker. I don't know. Who's stalking whom? Can you leave that in the comments, please? I just want to know. Another thing I want to know is, how are you doing? Oh, you're doing all right? Okay. Well, I hope you're enjoying the weekend, and that my mad rambles haven't incensed you too much. But have they incensed you enough? I'm not sure. What I can do is say that, really? Welcome to Night Vale. Could you suck any more? Ugh. They're letting it get to their heads. And all this attention, all that. Now they have these guest spots of people who can't freaking read. It sounds awful. And it's bad writing behind it, too. This Joel Fries guy needs to step up his game. It was easy for him when it was a Cecil reading this stuff, and it was a monologue, and he could fill your mind with these visions. But now it's just weak. It's just so weak. they need to get back to their game. And now, the Spate.
Hey, it's me, Spate. I've got two stories this week. The first one was supposed to be submitted last week for Weekly Challenge 421 with a prompt of monster. But seeing how I didn't write it until this week, obviously I couldn't send it in last week, so I'm sending it in this week. And this one's called Hash Part 6. And here it is. It was a monster bet, with the bettor's name held in secret. More green involved than most cons had ever seen on the inside, with every penny riding on Davidson. One catch, though, it was a parlay. Not only did Davidson have to remain naked until execution, but he had to eat that whole can of cold hash as his last supper without puking or shitting until he was dead. The Reckoner had weaseled the game so it stacked his way. But with 10 authentic G's sitting in the kitty, some crazy con was definitely dreaming about getting prison rich. And my second story, which is this week's story, for Challenge 422 with the prompt of Watch. This one's called Hash Part 7. And here it is. Now came the watching game. All the cons were watching Death Row for any developments in the clothing department. But Warden was watching even closer. Operation Icebox had failed. Goon Squad intimidation had only bolstered Davidson's resolve. It was time to try shame. They spiked his food, Viagra, two meals in a row. Guards kept watch on their rounds. No effect. Still flaccid? Totally, they reported. Give him another dose, ordered Warden. Meanwhile, Davidson, the center of everyone's attention, just watched his last days like he was at a movie in the back row with a tub of popcorn. Still here. I also wanted to let you know that I rewrote Hash Part 3. I'm not going to read it here, but you can find it with all the parts that have been written so far on the Slinging Hash page of my website, spatesgraffiti.blogspot.com. And I just snuck in a shameless plug. Also, on the website, all the proper attributions for the music I use, you can find that there, too. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed. See you next week.
There you go! I've inspired someone to put up a site, and then they're archiving their stuff there and sharing it with you. Go there! Check it out! That's awesome, man. We are branching out, taking over the entire web. We will one day crush the something crushable. I don't know. I was going to say Huffington Post, but sometimes they post good stuff. But the rest of it is just, oh, I'm going to post this for free, and then Ariana will make money off of me. You fucking suckers. I'm sure that there will be some people that say, wait, don't you make money off of us? No. In fact, I don't pay for the site. I pay for the bandwidth that I send the site, and I paid for this Yeti that I use out of my pocket. Well, the credit card was in my pocket. But still, what's all this, we need your money to pay us and all that. Well, you can go to those sites. You know, get your practice here, get in your chops. And then, you know, hey, I'm getting good. I should give the big leagues a try. Well, give the big leagues a try. But minor league baseball is a fun, too. Okay? Although, you can always come down here and take a few practice chops. Like Michael Jordan did. Or that dude does at the Skeeters. Skeeters is fun baseball, I'm telling you. You know, none of that, you know, ads everywhere bullshit. You know, there are a few ads, but still, it's fun. I say it's fun. The food is weird. Okay, enough rambling. Let's move on to Muncie. I think this is the last month that we are Muncie, so we will find out what Muncie says we are next week, but until then, the Muncie of all Muncies, Muncie.
Greetings, Muncie. Muncie here, coming on and coming on strong. I'm going to keep coming on like a nuclear bomb. And that, in a nutshell, is why my hip-hop career never took off. Are my stories better? You be the judge. On the Subject of Film, by Christopher Monroe. I don't care. I liked it. I'm aware Zack Snyder values style over substance, and that he skews toward the superficial. But when he hits, he hits. And when somebody else writes the story for him, he usually hits. Direct adaptations are definitely within his wheelhouse. He did change the third act, but I'd say for the better. Let's face it, that squid monster would have looked goofy as hell on the big screen. So I liked it. I liked the movie, and I watch it again and again. I watches The Watchmen. I like to watch The Watchmen. Broken Escalator, ChristopherMonroe.blogspot.com, and tweets at MunzeeMunzee. That's me, Munzee, and I hope you've enjoyed it, because I did, and you are all me. And if everyone this month is Munzee, does that mean that I get credit for 100% of the stories from everyone this month for the purposes of Iron Monkey calculation? Does that make me the greatest Iron Monkey? Because I'm already the greatest Iron Munzee. Mental note for a television program. People challenge me to a dick joke pop culture reference and non sequitur contest, where the winner is declared Iron Munzee. Wait, did I say television program? I meant bar game.
Okay, we'll do a bar game. Do I need to fly up to Winnipeg? What's the local beer there? Oh, I gotta tell you, they had this fence jumper beer. Oh, it was good. It was good. I posted a photo of the results of it. Hint, green traffic cone. So, thank you, Muncie, or Iron Muncie, or the Muncie of all Muncies. Do you get credit for those? Well, you're gonna have to talk to Tom. So, all right. Let me fill you in on why iTunes and the podcast app suck. So I have an iPhone 5. Work provides droids. I don't like droids. So these are not the droid you're looking for. So I'll get into that story some other time. But I've got an iPhone 5. I was forced to split the podcast. What the? Everything's collapsing around here. Forced to split off the podcast app from iTunes, which, you know, they've been downgrading it ever since. I used to be able to playlist and this. Now they've added in playlist. They had an update before I flew out, and it lost all of my downloaded episodes into the phone. None of them were linked, so I'm up in the air, and I'm trying to play the episodes. It's like, well, you don't have connection. You don't have connection. It's in the cloud. It's in the cloud. No, I'm in the clouds. I'm flying. Give me my fucking stories. So I try to access them, try to hack it. Nope, can't do it. Whip out the laptop, try to sync up. You need to have access to do that. Fuck you. So I send a nasty note to the iTunes developers, and it turns out that they upgraded the app twice, and then they upgraded again, and I'm downloading all this stuff. All I can listen to is David Rakoff's latest book, which I guess is his last, which is a good book to listen to. It was 2.5 hours. Flight was 2.5 hours. And it's Rakoff, so it's worth listening to. And my God, that last chapter, it is so agonizing. It is so beautiful. The man is struggling for every breath to read it. And he's dying. You can hear him dying, but loving the verse so much, loving the characters so much. It's just, so as we landed, I was crying, and there's no crying in baseball. And then in Phoenix, my tears evaporated instantly as a solar flare licked across my face. So fucking iTunes. So that's all an advertisement for Stitcher. Stitcher Radio, which will stream, but when you say download the episode, it goddamn downloads it, and it's available. And it's easy to configure, unlike goddamn iTunes. Sorry, did I get off on a rant? Are there other podcast apps that you use to listen? And don't say that, well, the droid does it all naturally and it's perfect. Beat you with a hammer. Sorry. It's time for Zach Man.
What are you doing? Ejaculated Joe. Celebrating our engagement, replied the petty officer's roommate. Not on my watch, insisted Joe. Guests are permitted here, countered his roommate. You don't understand. In your excitement, you used the wrong bunk. I don't want anything happening to my new Rolex I left on my bunk. Sorry, but aren't Rolex supposed to be really tough? Mine's actually a Rolex clone. I don't think Rolex really makes a My Little Pony watch, admitted Joe. Guess not. I'll be watching cartoons in the rec room after my watch. Thanks, Joe. She has to work at 2000.
I think you want another one from Zach, man. Guess what? Here it is.
Hi, dear. Are you ready for some quality time with our grandchildren? Well, I was going out with the girls tonight, but your son's wife made me promise to never leave you alone overnight with the children again, since you read them Paul Cooley books before bed. Do you realize how much of our retirement money we saved after I read them Closet Treats and several other stories with a villainous ice cream man? You could have just said no. No, but dearest, these are our grandchildren, not our children. We can't say no to everything they ask.
Of course you can say no. I say no all the time. Actually, I say fuck you all the time. Oh, but I'm not a parent or a grandparent. What I am is just the mean evil neighbor. They're feeding us. I'm out of minutes for the month. I'll call Child Protective Services next month, okay? Really, get your own plan. Oh, sorry. Thank you, Zach Man. Tura? Okay. We'll get Tura in here. I'm surprised we've been hitting the 16s and the 17s and the 18s of folks. I guess folks are taking a break for this fine holiday weekend to buy cars and washing machines and dildos and other crap that's on, well, they call it sale, but they really raise the prices, then they lower it, then they add in service charges, and they upsell you things you don't need, or they take essential things out of the package, and then, you know, you have to put them back in. They're all a bunch of liars. So on that note, here's Tura.
When I was very young, we would go to the seaside for our summer holidays, taking the train all the way. When we arrived, I would look out for the station master. He wore a smart station master's jacket with polished brass buttons, and a station master's cap, and a pocket watch on a gold chain slung across his expansive waistcoat. He would walk importantly about the station, and take out his pocket watch, and nod or tut-tut at no one in particular. And so, I believed, he kept the trains running on time. Station masters, I now know, can be found in all walks of life.
Thank you, Tura. Remember, it's only a train.
It's only a train.
Have you seen that image of Thomas the Tank Engine on meth? It's cute. No, it's even cuter. Cliff, he is so cute. He thought that my posting of the story from April 14th was for, no, it was because I forgot to hit schedule. You know what really makes me sad? When I miss a day like that because of a screw-up and no one notices. No one said, or they notice and they don't say anything. I did the story. I even did the recording. But no one noticed. No one cared. We're coming up about 9 years of this podcast. The best days are long ago. Jump the shark, I tell you. But here, in our senescence, in our twilight years of podcasting, is Adam Curry even still out there? Is he bald by now? Were all those others that were around back in the day? Some call it the golden age of podcasting. I just say 2005. I don't know. Maybe the time to give up was long ago. But I'm not giving up yet. After all, it is one a day until the day I die. And I'm not dead yet. So here's Cliff. Here's to you, Cliff. Here's to you.
My instructions were to observe and report. I could watch, but I couldn't interfere. When I saw the goons bounce some guy off a van, I stayed put. But when they threw him inside and the van started, I decided that I had to act. I blocked the van with my car and approached the side. With one hand on my sidearm, I flashed my badge and ID. When I yanked the door open, I realized that I should have already drawn my weapon. I brought a gun to a knife fight, but there were so damned many knives.
Thank you, Cliff, and guest reader who is friend of Cliff. You can put that on your driver's license if you want, unless you shouldn't be driving, then get off the sidewalk. Oh my God, you're going to kill those nuns. Why is it that I think of nuns when I think of driving on the side? Oh, that's right. I'm still paying off the fine. What? Oh, Guy David didn't just come back and leave? He's still here? Oh my God, that's so cool. You see, people do stories. They take a break. Maybe they go off and do other things. Sometimes they come back. Sometimes they go away again. Sometimes they come back again. If the topic inspires them, if they get into the groove, get into the beat, Me? I'm never allowed to leave. Even when I travel far, like the searing hell of Phoenix, Arizona. I think Tempe was right outside there, or was it Tucson? I don't know. Whatever it was hot. Next year, the conference is in Columbus, Ohio. Oh, there goes my knee. So, I lived 10 years in Westerville, and that's right outside Columbus. I have no idea where it's going to be in Columbus. Some folks think the Nationwide Center, which is in Whitehall on the north end, which, if hockey season is over, what's the point of being in Whitehall? There's nothing there. And you don't want to walk around Columbus. So, maybe it's time to move on away from writing so I don't have to do that. Just, gross. I don't know if I have any friends left there. Whatever. How about Guy David? Here we go.
Drips. 100 Word Stories by Guy David. DDDD.AM.
A loss of time. I lost my watch today, which wouldn't have been a problem if I wasn't the keeper of time. You see, my watch is the key for time running smoothly, regularly, and in an orderly manner. Now that it's lost, no one has the time except for a few time sensitives. People are rushing around like crazy, faster, faster, not even realizing anything is wrong. Time is accelerating towards a time bang, an end of all times when everything would happen at once, then time would stop altogether. This is why you have to help me. Have you seen my watch?
Watch? Watch what? What watch? I don't know about a watch. Do you? Thank you, Guy David. I haven't seen your watch. I have another watch. I don't wear it. Is that good enough? You know who might know where your watch is? Norval Joe. He's good at keeping track of that kind of thing. Let's see if he knows where it is.
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll of NorvalJoe.com, and this is my entry for the weekly challenge number something like 422, maybe? Huh? Maybe? I think. With a prompt of watch. So here's my story. Holding his airsoft rifle, Wilner leaned off the porch and peered into the eaves of the house. Pigeons. He heard them up there, cooing. Their feathers littered the ground, mixed with dried pigeon poop. It was getting late. Wilner turned his wrist over to check the time. As he did, the numbers were obscured by a splash of green and white bird crap.
"Not on my watch, you don't."
The boy turned as he jumped onto the sidewalk, pumping and shooting in rapid fire. As usual, the pigeons scattered, though the small yellow pellets bounced harmlessly from their feathered breasts. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Mixed with bird poop. That describes a lot of my cooking. Thank you, Norval Joe. Ooh, that reminds me, I need to get the rice going now. If I have rice steaming all day, I'll eat rice, which I think is good for me. Is it good for you? Good for you. Yeah, the church is going to be letting out soon. Okay, so the driver to the airport, he was late because of the gigantic Lakewood Church, and he drove through all that traffic, and the cops wouldn't let him through, and then he had trouble with the trunk, and then we got on the way to the airport, got caught in traffic, and there was a wreck on the airport drive because some idiot on a motorcycle you know, some motorcycle gang was going around and he fell off his little bike. We got on the plane just as they were closing the doors. Brilliant. So, whatever. And then the shuttle back, we had plenty of time, but we had to wait for someone in the hot van because they were scheduled for 1:45 and we were scheduled for 1:30 and there was overlap. Yeah, 15 minutes in a hot white van. There was no candy or dude molesting me either. Speaking of which, how about some Planet Z?
These days, people check the time on their cell phones. You're too young to remember when people would wear watches. And when I say watches, they wore lots of watches. Someone had half a dozen watches on one arm, half a dozen on the other. Heck, I was known for wearing all different colored swatches when I'd go out to events and parties. Took me an hour to get the colors arranged right. But these days, they're all in a box in my closet. No more watches for me. I'll give them out instead of Halloween candy.
And there you have it, a bunch of stories on the topic of watch. A bunch of 100-word stories, no less. So, go to the website, oneadayuntilthedayidie.com, leave some comments, let folks know how you felt about their stories. Also, you can go there and check out the latest re-edit, rehash, re-cleanup of Singh's Foreign Madam and the White Yogi. What else? We're in the countdown to the 9th anniversary. I will do the usual crap in that little pixel doll crap thing, read stories out loud. If you're looking for details on it, you already know. If you don't, you don't care. Don't worry about it. Just relax. And next topic is butter. So it's good for you. Not that margarine crap. Actually, it's all bad. Everything is bad for you, including this podcast, which is available on Stitcher Radio. Stitcher Radio. It doesn't suck like iTunes does. Until next week, well, see you tomorrow. Wait, that doesn't make any sense. Oh, well. How about I just say the three words? Keep it brief.